This Morning, America's First News, starts right after this.
Great news. There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This Morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Recapping primary day. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Rasa Kay, who's in for Jennifer Koshenka on this Wednesday, August 29. Glad you're with us. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The Florida governor's race will feature a Republican backed by President Trump and a Democrat backed by Bernie Sanders.
In Arizona, a woman will go to the Senate for the first time as two female members of the House capture their respective primaries.
A new study has revised the number of people killed in Puerto Rico by Hurricane Maria from 64 to nearly 3,000.
And the latest item for your to-do list, checking the credit history of your child.
Children have clean credit history. There's nothing on it. They're very attractive in that sense. And even more important reason is that the parents don't tend to check on children's credit history like they do on their own.
Wall Street Journal reporter Yuka Hayashi on kids' credit being targeted and the new law that may help it. That story in about 20 minutes. Another primary victory for a candidate backed by President Trump. In the primary race for Florida governor, Republican Congressman Ron DeSantis defeated State Agriculture Commissioner Adam Putnam.
I am committed to making Florida the number one place for economic opportunity in our country. We can get it done.
Mr. DeSantis, who turns 40 next month, is a former Navy lawyer and Iraq War veteran. He will face Andrew Gillum in the general election. Mr. Gillum, the 39-year-old mayor of Tallahassee, captured the Democratic primary yesterday in a major upset, defeating rivals that included former Congresswoman Gwen Graham.
We are everyday hardworking people in this state who believe that they deserve a voice in our government too, and we're going to give it to them.
Mr. Gillum was supported by Vermont Democratic Socialist Senator Bernie Sanders. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, the Democratic Socialist running for Congress in New York City, praised Mr. Gillum for staking out liberal positions like abolishing immigration and customs enforcement. Arizona will elect its first female U.S. senator in November. That's because two members of the House of Representatives won their respective primaries last night in a bid to succeed retiring Senator Jeff Flake. Congresswoman Martha McSally, a former Air Force colonel, won the Republican primary over State Senator Kelly Ward and former Maricopa County Sheriff Joe Arpaio.
It's tempting to celebrate, but let's keep something in mind. This is not our objective. Our mission is in 70 days. We have 70 days to win this seat.
Before her remarks, she held a moment of silence for the late Arizona Senator John McCain, who died Saturday. Ms. McSally's victory drew Twitter praise from President Trump, who highlighted her rejection of Senator Flake's endorsement. Mr. Flake has been a Trump critic. On the Democratic side, Congresswoman Kyrsten Sinema defeated attorney Deirdre Abood. A number of Democratic senators feel Florida's Bill Nelson is in for a reckoning on Election Day, which could cost Democrats any hope of winning back the Senate. As Politico reports, Mr. Nelson is being vastly outspent, and there's concern in Florida the National Party might cut him loose if it begins to look like he'll lose to Republican Rick Scott, the governor. In addition, some Florida Democrats fret that he's not been visible enough while Governor Scott is seemingly everywhere. More from Daniel Lipman, co-author of Politico Playbook. Daniel, explain.
He's facing a stiff competition from Rick Scott, the popular Florida governor, and that's given him some doubts among many Democrats about does he have the ability to pull out a victory in a year that's going to be pretty pro-Democrat. And so that, you know, he doesn't seem to be campaigning very much. He keeps his head down, and he's not attuned to the era we live in, which is, you know, you have to be all out and driving a million-dollar message almost every day in Florida.
Are polls indicating that he is behind at this point, or some
folks? They're kind of tied, but he should be ahead by a lot. This is a state that Trump barely won, and again, in a year when everyone's expecting that blue wave, It's just shocking on his part that he isn't doing better.
Is it possible it's policy, or is this all about the way he's campaigning?
I think, you know, his style is pretty low-key. He's not very flashy. And so I think there is this sense that he doesn't have to change his policies, but he does have to kind of adapt himself. He's an older guy. He needs to really come out there swinging more and hit Rick Scott on some of his controversies, campaign finance issues, whether he's helping donors too much, the environmental record. There's a lot that he could swing at Scott for.
For Mr. Scott's part, what is he saying about Senator Nelson?
You know, he's saying that, you know, Senator Nelson is kind of old Washington establishment and is not necessary in this age when a lot of Florida Republicans, they support Trump. And Bill Nelson is not a Trump supporter by any measure. And so, you know, Scott feels like he's done a good job as governor. He wants to be rewarded. And he's self-financing, which means that he can put up millions. This is going to be a very expensive campaign, especially in the Miami media market. Very pricey to put on TV ads.
We're speaking with Daniel Lipman, co-author of the Politico Playbook at Politico. They've got a piece entitled "Democrats Fret Nelson is Choking in Florida Senate Race," talking about the incumbent Democrat Bill Nelson versus the Republican Governor Rick Scott, who is running for that Senate seat. You mentioned, too, that there's a threat, I guess, that Democrats could pull national money from that race.
Yeah, I think, you know, if they want to, if they see him as sinking, why waste all this money, you know, on a guy they don't expect to win? And so we're not at that point by any stretch. It's only late August, but they would want to use that money to get a number of more House seats to increase their margin there so that they, you know, can feel good going into 2020.
What would that mean, or what kind of impact would that have if they decided to leave Mr. Nelson, I guess, on his own?
I think the impact would be that it's almost like, you know, you're climbing the, you know, Himalayas and you just have to leave a guy behind. It's not pretty, but, you know, he would be on his own and he'd have to fend for himself. And so not the best, you know, sign of loyalty for a guy who has been a faithful Democrat for a long time and served our country as well.
And you mentioned, too, he has tried to help others like Claire McCaskill in Missouri, right? But his, what, his muscle didn't work, I guess, in her campaign?
Yeah, it's, you know, he doesn't seem to have much juice that people, you know, in Missouri and other states, they don't really base their voting decisions and what they think about anything on based on Bill Nelson. You know, he has limited stock in Florida, but it'd be like me as a, you know, telling people in Arizona how to vote in their primaries. It's just not going to happen.
Thanks, Daniel. Daniel Lipman, co-author of Politico Playbook. 14 minutes now after the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for joining us. Welcome into Wednesday. President Trump is pointing an accusatory finger at Google, saying the internet search giant elevates unfavorable stories about him at the expense of friendly conservative voices. He took to Twitter yesterday to say that Google search results for the words Trump News return results primarily from what he labeled left-wing media. He wrote that the way sites present results is a various situation will be addressed.
Yeah, I think Google is really taking advantage of a lot of people, and I think that's a very serious thing, and it's a very serious charge.
The allegations come as some policymakers in Washington have expressed concerns about whether Google stifles competition and threatens the privacy of billions of users. Members of Congress questioned Google, you might recall, and other tech giants earlier this year over allegations that their platforms favored liberal voices over conservative ones. A Google spokeswoman said its search results are not biased toward a particular political ideology. It's 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is here with more of America's First News.
Well, Gordon, Canada is under pressure to agree to a revamp NAFTA quickly because a new president in Mexico takes office December 1st. Congress has until Friday latest to meet a 90-day congressional procedural requirement before the countries can formally sign a deal, which will ideally include Canada. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin says they're close.
Stronger intellectual property, stronger protections, modernizing the agreement. So I'm hopeful that the open issues with Canada can be resolved quickly.
The body of Senator John McCain will lie in state at the Arizona Capitol in Phoenix today on what would have been McCain's 82nd birthday. A private ceremony will be held inside the rotunda. The public will be able to pay their respects this afternoon and evening. An Illinois agency is investigating neglect allegations after now 10 children were killed in an apartment fire in Chicago's Little Village neighborhood Sunday. A 10th victim has died at Stroger Hospital. The Illinois Department of Children and Family Services is probing allegations of neglect. Questions remain about why there were no adults or working smoke alarms in the building when the fire broke out. Puerto Rico has officially raised the death toll from last year's devastating Hurricane Maria from 64 to nearly 3,000, citing an independent government commission study ordered by Governor Ricardo Rossello. The study by researchers at George Washington University sets it just shy of the total that died in the 9/11 terrorist attacks. Residents of Los Angeles had a sight of earthquake with dinner last night. Caltech and USGS seismologist Lucy Jones says the 4.4 tremor was centered about 25 miles east of downtown.
It is the largest earthquake to happen in the LA metropolitan area for 3 years now.
No immediate reports of damage or injuries. An Urban Institute survey of almost 8,000 adults finds even in a so-called strong economy, 40% of American families struggled to meet a basic need last year. 23% of households skimped on food, 18% skipped medical care because of the cost, 13% missed a utility payment, and 10% didn't pay the full amount on their rent or mortgage. And just when you thought fashion couldn't get any weirder, Unravel Project brings you Inside Out Effect jeans. Sold on luxury fashion retail platform Farfetch, the pair of distressed jeans look exactly as the name suggests, visibly inside out on purpose. Everything from the buttons to the pockets, the wrong way around. $200 for a pair.
Then. Oh, and you pay extra for that.
There you go.
Yeah, I see. I feel like if just the word stupid were printed largely on the thigh portion of jeans where everybody could read it, people would pay super amounts of money for that.
You know,
just have a feeling.
There's a reason the website's called Farfetch.
Thank you, Rasa. 22 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Parents have a new item to add to their financial to-do list, checking their child's credit history. A new federal law going into effect next month will make it easier for families to combat a growing problem of identity fraud of minors. More from Wall Street Journal reporter Yuka Hayashi. Yuka, set this up.
Identity theft targeting children has been on the rise in the past few years. And this problem has become a bigger issue when the government changed the way it assigns social security numbers to people in 2011.
Why is it that children have become a target or perhaps an easy target?
That is because, well, there are two reasons. One is that children have clean credit history. There's nothing on it. They're very attractive in that sense. And even more important reason is that the parents don't tend to check on children's credit history like they do on their own.
How about, boy, I almost fell off my chair when I was reading the one part in which you told the story of a woman who spent like 7 years trying to fix her daughter's identity after a credit card bill came home with her name on it or something?
That's right. That's right. So this woman has a daughter who was seven at that time, 7 years ago, whose social security number was stolen. She got a call from JCPenney first saying that the new credit card account was opened under her daughter's social security number. Then came more calls from other stores like, you know, Macy's and what have you. So she went to these stores to try to shut down the account, but she was turned away because these accounts had her daughter's social security number, but the name was a different person's name. So she wasn't able to shut down the accounts. So one thing she tried to do was to apply for a new social security number for her daughter. And this turned out to be much more difficult than she anticipated. And it took her 7 years to get her a new social security number. And that effort involved even changing the daughter's first and middle names.
It's incredible. We're speaking with Yuka Hayashi, Wall Street Journal reporter. She's written a piece entitled New on Parents' To-Do List, Checking Children's Credit. All right, so there's a new law that goes into effect mid to late September. How is that supposed to help?
Yes, this is going to allow parents to make inquiries about their child's credit history, then freeze and unfreeze it as often as they want for free of charge. And this is in response to the massive data breach at Equifax last year. Actually, the one-year anniversary for that is coming up. The new law is also allowing adults to freeze and unfreeze their credit for at no cost.
Is it recommended that you do that? Do you go ahead and just freeze your child's credit till, I don't know, what, they get their first paying job that's, you know, not under the table, I guess?
A number of experts that I spoke to recommended that they do, because until a child becomes maybe 16, 18 and starts applying for credit cards or student loans, you know, they really don't need social security numbers.
Wall Street Journal reporter Yuka Hayashi. ID Analytics, by the way, estimates 2.2% of credit applications filed under new social security numbers carried fake identities last year. Many of those numbers are believed to belong to young kids. 30 minutes after the hour, on This Morning, America's First News.
There's nothing small about your business. Your passion, your hours, your reputation, it's all huge. Your partnerships, even bigger. With Dell Small Business Technology Advisors, you'll get the tech, advice, and one-on-one partnership to help your business grow. Because with reliable Dell PCs with Intel Core processors, you can focus on what matters most, getting business done. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
When a state ranks among the top 10 in the country for major new and expanded facilities, that's pure growth. When it's tops for four straight years, that's pure Michigan. Long known as a world leader in the automotive industry, Michigan is also a leader in advanced manufacturing, cybersecurity, agribusiness, and aerospace. In fact, CNBC rates Michigan as the most improved state for business. To learn more, visit MichiganBusiness.org.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday, August 29. Gordon Deal with Rasa Kay, who's filling in for Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines: DeSantis versus Gillum in the Florida governor's race. McSally and Sinema win primaries in the race to succeed Senator Flake in Arizona. Another day of scorching heat for the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic, with the heat index topping 100 in some areas. A new study about the problems caused by too much sleep. ESPN says the NBA will now allow players to wear sneakers of any color and at any time. And an Alabama high school gets brutally honest with a fundraising letter. That story in about 20 minutes. Offices, luxury shopping centers, and large apartment buildings are a couple of the developments rising from the ashes of former Sears department stores. And New York Times reporter Michael Corkery says they represent an audacious feat of financial engineering by a group of wealthy investors who bet that one of Sears' greatest assets was its real estate. Some say this engineering might not pass the smell test. Michael, what have you found?
Anybody who's walked into a Sears recently knows just how bleak that company's situation is. I mean, they're closing dozens of stores every few months. The stores themselves are many of the shelves are empty. I mean, it's a really struggling retailer, and yet many of its former stores that about 3 years ago were spun off into a real estate company called Seritage are now creating a new fortune for the investors in that company. They're being turned into gleaming offices with views of the Pacific Ocean in California, and you know, very high-end retail developments in Connecticut with REIs and Whole Foods and Shake Shacks, apartments in Long Island. So Sears, at least its former stores, has a second life, it seems.
How about that? This was, what'd you say, a $2.7 billion infusion of cash with some of these properties?
Right. When the deal was done and the stores, there was about 235 stores, they were spun off from Sears into this company in 2015. The company, Seritage, then paid Sears $2.7 billion for the properties. You know, for Sears, a lot of that cash is gone. You know, the company said it made investments and tried to sort of find its footing, but it doesn't seem to have paid off. The retailer's still losing hundreds of millions a year. Meanwhile, Seritage is sitting on several hundred great primely located properties across the U.S. and is turning them into all these different uses.
Hmm. What is the role here of Edward Lampert?
So Edward Lampert is a hedge fund manager. He plays a big role in both companies, and a very unusual role in corporate America, Wall Street. I mean, there's sort of, I don't think there's anyone like him in how he has, he's the chairman of Sears. He's Sears's largest shareholder. He's also the chairman of the real estate company, Seritage, and a very, very significant investor in Seritage. And so there's all these questions about when that deal was done, when these properties were spun off, was it an arm's length transaction? Was it their conflicts of interest? Is his whole plan all along when he took over Sears as the largest shareholder, was his plan to basically strip this real estate out and kind of leave the retailer for dead? His response, or the response of his spokespeople, is no. He's in fact trying to keep Sears viable. He's just, you know, rejiggering it for the future, and meanwhile creating new value for a new set of shareholders with this real estate venture. But the questions are still quite alive, and many, many. If you just look at what's happened to Sears since then, you might come to a different conclusion.
Are there private hopes, I guess, among some of those folks that Sears completely shuts down so that real estate becomes more available?
Well, you know, it's interesting because they kind of have the best of both worlds right now, Seritage, the real estate company, because what they have, Sears is paying rent on the properties that Seritage owns. And it has yet to redevelop. So they have this sort of steady stream of income coming from Sears while they, you know, real estate takes a long time. These projects take a long time. So while they're waiting for them to come to fruition, they have some, you know, in the case last year, $170 million coming in rent payments from Sears. So it doesn't seem like there's any real hurry or urgency to shut the whole Sears operation down, given how it's supporting the real estate venture.
Thanks, Michael. It's New York Times reporter Michael Corkery. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Don't forget, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter as well with the username at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter with the username at Gordon Deal. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, it may not come as a big surprise to you that pro football players eat a lot of food, but even going in with this knowledge, the numbers are pretty staggering. According to the Washington Redskins Director of Sports Nutrition, recently profiled in the Washington Post, the food intake of these athletes should probably be measured in gross tonnage. According to Jake Sankal, during 1 week at the team's training camp in Richmond, Virginia, the team consumed 875 pounds of fish, 420 pounds of chicken, 110 pounds of pasta, 54 dozen eggs, and 50 watermelons. And while those numbers are jaw-dropping, you need to keep in mind that many players have to eat more than 3,000 calories a day to maintain their weight, and more than that if they want to gain weight. Tampa Bay Bucks lineman Noah Spence detailed his 9,000-calorie diet earlier this summer, which helped him put on 38 pounds.
Wow.
See, I'm just jealous of all this, the fact that they can just, you know, eat. Yeah. Essentially, now they're trying to feed them nutritious food. They're not just, you know, going down eating fast food all day long or anything like that. But the fact that they can consume this many calories without any kind of repercussions is something that I'm kind of jealous
of. Well, their job is fitness,
you
know, essentially. So yeah, it's not it's not a fair comparison, but I feel you.
Yes.
9,000 calories, can you imagine? Trying to pack on weight and eating 9,000 calories a day.
Yeah, I mean, that means your job.
Seven dinners.
Yeah, your job basically is to eat.
Eat.
You know, and work out, obviously,
and lift
in between. But yeah, you're basically eating all day long.
But that,
which sounds like not a bad way to spend the day for me.
54 dozen. I love eggs.
Yeah, yeah.
54 dozen eggs.
Oh, boy.
That's 648.
Yes.
Over how many? I don't know how many guys are on the roster now. It's got to be down to 53, I think, after Sunday. Right?
I think this was based on the 90 person
roster.
Yeah.
That is,
but still, that's a pretty good amount. Yeah, I'll take a dozen, please. Thank you.
Right.
And it was a case, Gordon, of hold the honey, double the mustard at lunchtime in New York City yesterday. According to Reuters, police had to shut down part of a street in Times Square after a thick swarm of bees gathered atop a blue and yellow umbrella over a hot dog cart in that area of Manhattan, already buzzing with a swarm of pedestrians, tourists, and traffic. A police officer who keeps bees himself arrived at the scene wearing a mesh hooded beekeeper suit. He deployed a vacuum cleaner-like device to collect the bees unharmed. Police say it took about 45 minutes to suck up the bees, then they were taken to an undisclosed location where they will be rehived. No one was injured in the incident, but as you can imagine, the scene drew crowds of tourists taking pictures.
Rehived?
Rehived.
That's a word?
That was the term that was used by the police spokesperson.
I see.
They'll be rehived.
Rehived.
Yeah, so, you know, okay. Just put into another place.
And I saw a picture of all the folks who had gathered to watch.
Yes.
And there's only one reason they were watching.
Yeah.
And that is to see if the swarm
right.
left the umbrella stand and attack somebody.
Right.
This is the only reason you stop and watch bees.
Right.
Because they're all just like in a giant clump on top of that umbrella. There's no other reason to watch.
But it could have attacked any one of them, too.
Agreed.
If it decided to do so.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I mean, there's really no other reason to watch, right? That's why you would stop.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Because bees are not that interesting.
No, nor are hot dog carts.
Right. Who's gonna take off, run screaming after getting stung and make the YouTube moment? That's why everybody stood to watch.
And it did not happen.
How do you have your
much to your chagrin?
How do you have your hot dogs, by the way, on the street in New York City?
Mustard and sauerkraut.
Yeah.
Always with the kraut.
Right. You can go plain.
Yeah.
So you can enjoy the taste. You can go mustard, kraut. You cannot go ketchup. That is no.
Enjoy the taste.
Don't.
Enjoy that dirty water dog taste.
Where guys don't wash their hands all day. 13 minutes in front of the hour. Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. How much sleep do you think you need? New research from a cardiology specialist in Greece suggests people should get between 6 and 8 hours of sleep. More or less is detrimental. The research found that both short and long sleepers had a greater risk of developing or dying from coronary artery disease or stroke. So people who are vulnerable to depression and or anxiety can also suffer from disturbed sleep and end up oversleeping, which exacerbates those symptoms. The story is on MarketWatch.com. A researcher at the University of Gothenburg released similar research last weekend, concluding that middle-aged men who sleep 5 hours or less per night have twice the risk of developing a major cardiovascular event over the next 20 years than men who sleep 7 to 8 hours. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Rasa Kay is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a come-from-behind win for progressive Tallahassee Mayor Andrew Gillum to become the first black nominee for Florida governor.
This is not my moment. This is our moment.
Gillum achieved a stunning victory in the Florida primary over four wealthy Democratic challengers. In neighboring Georgia, Stacey Abrams defied expectations by easily securing the Democratic nomination in a bid to become the nation's first black female governor. White former police officer Roy Oliver faces up to 99 years in prison guilty of murder for fatally shooting Jordan Edwards, an unarmed black 15-year-old passenger of a car leaving a Dallas area house party in April 2017. Oliver and Officer Tyler Gross were breaking up the gathering when they heard shots fire. Oliver said he used deadly force because he believed the driver of the vehicle threatened his partner. Gross testified he did not fear for his life. Attorney Matt Morgan says survivors of the deadly shooting rampage at a Jacksonville gaming bar Sunday are contacting him to file a negligent security lawsuit.
We are of the opinion that this event could have and should have been prevented had there been the proper safety measures in place to prevent this tragedy from occurring.
Morgan says his clients include people with physical and emotional injuries suffered when David Katz opened fire at a Madden NFL 19 video game competition. Teenagers who smoke and drink alcohol are causing visible damage to their arteries by the age of 17. The European Heart Journal reports tests showed stiffening of the arteries by the late teen years, physical changes linked with an increased risk of stroke and heart attack in later life. Study also finds the arteries of teens who stop smoking or drinking return to normal. Citing people familiar with the matter, The Information reports Amazon's planning a free advertising-supported video service for users of its Fire TV streaming video devices. The new service is tentatively called Free Dive and would be separate from Amazon's ad-free subscription Prime Video service. Spanish pensioners are selling their flats for half the market price to buyers prepared to meet one condition: that they allow the old couple to live in their homes until they die. It's a practice that's neither illegal nor all that new, but it's increasing as Spain's elderly use it to improve their immediate lifestyle with the cash while helping budding and patient homeowners with a discount home price.
Interesting. All right. Thank you, Rasa. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News. An Alabama high school is done with trying to raise money through things like bake sales or selling candles or cookie dough. Auburn High School is asking for donations directly, but with flair. In a note sent home from orientation, the form read, quote, "Don't want to sell anything, bake anything, buy anything, or generally avoid fundraising of any kind. We feel the same way." The form is called the opt-out fundraiser. The letter explained to parents they can avoid participating in typical fundraisers by simply making a donation that will directly benefit the high school. Parents could give as much money as they wanted, though the school recommended at least $15 in donations. Brianna Leggett Woods, whose daughter attends Auburn High, called the note a breath of fresh air and posted it on Facebook. The idea was the brainchild of Emmy Sorrells, who's the president of the PTO. Her efforts paid off. The letter she drafted has gone viral. For Rasa Kay, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Great news! There's a quick way you could save money. Switch to Geico. Geico could help you get great coverage at a great price, and it only takes 15 minutes to see if you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Go to geico.com today and see how much you could save.